On view now through September the 15th at the Memphis Brooks Museum of Art, The Crossroads of Memory, Carol Clore and the American South. The exhibit is being curated by Stanton Thomas, and he's my guest this afternoon to talk about a look back at the art of such a well-known Memphian and something that that everybody can identify with. Good to see you this afternoon. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, my pleasure. I always love coming to visit.
Well, you know, we were talking before I opened the mics this afternoon, and you said that Clore's work really taps into the small town in everyone, and I think that's such a nice quote.
Oh, thank you. And I think that's really true. So many of us grew up in small towns. I know you did, and I did. I actually grew up 7 miles from the small town, kind of like Clore. He didn't even grow up in Earl. He grew up in Gibson Bayou, where he was born, right north of Earl. And I love that because I think when Clore paints, he really evokes the closeness of that community, the safeness, the wonderment of growing up in the rural areas in the United States. And I love the way he's able to tap into the mythos of what it is to be American. He's the small town, not just in his own life and my life and yours, but even if we didn't come from a small town, we all have those stories in our lives, maybe our parents or our grandparents. And I think it's so incredibly rich and incredibly compelling.
I'll cut that.
Okay.
Let's talk about Carol Clore and his art for the benefit of folks who maybe are new to this area. Because this, if you've lived in Memphis for any amount of time and you know anything about the art world in Memphis, you know the name Carol Clore. If you don't know the name Carol Clore, you certainly have seen his images. You couldn't avoid seeing his images if you're from Memphis or have lived here for a while.
Absolutely true. The most famous of them, I'm very happy to say, belongs to the Memphis Brooks Museum of Art. And that's the wonderful Where the Southern Cross, the Yellow Dog, that brilliant evocation of a couple crossing the railroad tracks in Moorhead, Mississippi, which is the heart of blues country. And it's that painting of those blazing autumnal trees and the railroad tracks and off in the distance, the small town. And I think it's immediately recognizable, and so much of his work is recognizable because it focuses upon those things which are so familiar to people from the Mid-South and from the Delta from most of the United States.
So he grew up in Arkansas, and he ended up moving to Memphis in the 30s?
He actually moved here quite early in the 30s. His parents died when he was very young. He was 16, and his brother took over the cotton farm and granted Clore an annuity, so he had support, and he was able to attend school, studied both English and the arts. He was fascinated by writing, and often lists people such as Eudora Welty, William Faulkner, Thomas Wolfe as major influences, and he was kind of torn between writing and painting, and he's a very literary painter. After studying there and traveling to Europe, he finally decided to become a cartoonist and ended up in New York City.
I heard he wanted to write for the New Yorker, or draw for the New Yorker.
Well, you know, he had modest ambitions. and while he was there, he didn't eventually have a success as a cartoonist, but he enrolled in the Art Students League, did very well there, then produced a series of lithographs, which brought him considerable notoriety and eventually allowed him to gain a McDowell Fellowship, which in turn allowed him to travel around. And then finally, he's picked up by some major dealers. And as a result, you have major paintings by Carol Clore at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, at MoMA, the Whitney. The Hirshhorn actually has 11. And I'm thrilled that a lot of those paintings have come home to Memphis. The Met's pictures here, MoMA's, and five of the Hirshhorn's 11 are hanging back in their hometown. And it's great to have these here. It's really a homecoming for Carol Clore.
It absolutely is. So when you approached MoMA and those different groups to see if they would loan the Clore pictures back for this exhibit, they were more than willing to do that,
Yes, I have to say, of all the projects upon which I've ever worked here in Memphis, this is the one that's had the most enthusiastic reception. We would, of course, go out, present it, and ask for funding. And the first people to whom we presented it was Boyle Investment. They said yes. And then IBERIA Bank jumped on board, FedEx jumped on board, Wunderlich Securities did, and Humanities Tennessee. So it was just wonderful. It really is a great celebration of Clore's work. And I think that's a great testament to his lasting popularity and his importance here.
It is. I mean, you say the words Carol Clore and people are like, sure, whatever you need. Mm. That's nice.
And one of the reasons I also enjoyed working on the show is it's 85 paintings, which is a lot of Clore paintings. It's a wonderful survey. The earliest one is 1949, and it goes up through 1990, just 3 years before his death. And it really reveals him as a much more complicated, much more sophisticated artist that you might guess at first. It's a great opportunity to look at him through the lens of surrealism, but also magic realism, regionalism, and he even has a relationship with abstract expressionism. He admired the work of Jackson Pollock, and in some of the paintings, he visually references this. So it's really exciting to see him emerge as someone much more complicated, much more important.
But when I first became aware of his work, I guess the first thing I thought of was, you know, he's a great regional folk artist. That's what I thought at first. Is that that's too simplistic?
No, I'm not going to go along with folk. I'm afraid not. But I understand what you mean. I think it's so easy to see him as a folk artist because he does paint images which are rather folky. They're familiar. They're you know, every day, they're those memories that are so fond to us. So I can see why people do categorize him as folk. But again, the more you look at him, the more mm-hmm. you realize how complicated he is and how he focuses upon things which are usually quite melancholy mm-hmm. and very rich and very complicated. So, but I see what you mean, absolutely.
Yeah. Have I flaunted my ignorance? Immensely.
No. Wait, maybe. On air. I think we're cutting this part out. Is this live?
I'll snip.
No, I think it's important to talk about it. A lot of people kind of refer to him as a folk artist, and that perfectly makes sense, but he's actually much more sophisticated than that.
Well, this exhibit's going to be exciting, but like you said, you can look at a body of his work, 85 images that mm-hmm. he created over the course of his career, and just see intricacies and see more complexity there.
And I think a lot of the reason we associate Clore with folk is because the images are so familiar and they're mm-hmm. kind of down home. And I don't think that would have bothered him at all. But to my mind, folk artists are untrained, and Clore is very much trained.
Oh, sure.
He has a very meticulous technique, and that's one of the revelations of the show also. You find out that quite often he was doing abstract paintings underneath his final works, and he allows them to kind of bleed through to very great effect. It's fascinating to see what he's doing, manipulating the pigments on the canvas. So he was a great technician.
Yeah, and the use of pointillism too?
Absolutely. That kind of stippled effect. He had, I think, no interest whatsoever in French art per se, and he certainly wasn't interested in the scientific meaning of pointillism, but he loved that kind of stippled effect and uses it very effectively to communicate trees particularly or clouds. So you have these glorious kind of blazing autumnal trees, and that goes right back to pointillism.
We have to mention too why there's this huge interest in Carol Clore, particularly this summer, because if you've read the paper, you've read magazines, you're seeing Clore all over the place, and it's because it's the centennial of his birth.
Mm-hmm. That's right. He was born in 1913. And I first started planning this about 2 years ago. And then about a year ago, when we started to get really good loans in, I contacted a couple of the other institutions in town that I knew had Clore. One was the University of Memphis, AMEM, their art museum. And they have his studio walls, and they're reconstructing them for the exhibition. And so you can go there and see where he actually painted. And it's fascinating. I actually got to help move the walls. And then Christian Brothers also has an exhibition. Delta Arts has an exhibition. The library at the University of Memphis also has an exhibition. So when this all started to come together, I said, you know, we should just call this the Summer of Clore. And so then we're marketing this with the hashtag of Summer of Clore. And so it really is a citywide, not just citywide, it's West Memphis too.
Sure.
Celebration of the artist.
And at David Lusk Gallery as well?
David Lusk also mm-hmm. has a number of works, not just to view, but actually for sale. You can purchase something. And there's some very beautiful, very exciting things there. And one of the things I want to do with Carol Clore, because he is such a familiar figure, is to think outside the box, to do some really fun things. And one of the things that my wife and I came up with and we're doing is on June 29th, we're having the Bike to Clore. You can take your bicycle to the Crittenden County Museum. It's the depot where he used to get on and off the train. Mm-hmm. And you bring your bike, and we will ride to Clore. Clore is a place on the map. and we can ride down Clore Road. But most importantly, we'll ride to Gibson Bayou Church, Gibson Bayou Cemetery. These are the places he knew as a child. We'll ride to the Angel in the Thorn Patch, and we'll ride over Gibson Bayou proper. There's also the high school in the town of Earl that he paints. So there's several monuments still there, and it's just a great way of matching art history to physical activity. My wife refers to it as art history on wheels. And it's one of the many things we're doing to get people interested in looking at Clore differently and maybe with some new lenses.
So you have some film scheduled, some lectures, a family day celebration, and a lot of things.
And we are even doing a slightly different direction with the films. We're showing Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, which is not about Clore, mind you, but it's the same sort of imagery, and mm-hmm. what we're doing unusually with that is Clore was a great musician. He sang and played very beautifully and loved folk songs and American bluegrass and country music. And what we're doing is a sing-along. So we're having a live guitarist and vocalist lead us in song, and we're giving people the lyrics, not that I need any, and we're going to sing along to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou in celebration of Clore.
Oh, that's fun. So all of that is on the Brooks website, brooksmuseum.org, and you can look all of that up. So, and you have a music-only soundtrack audio tour. That's pretty cool. You don't?
No, we don't. We don't kill it. We ran out of money. But we can talk about the audio tour.
Well, let's talk about the audio tour. I'm so glad this isn't live.
I am too. Well, I would fudge around that. I mean, they're certainly musical on the audio tour. Yeah, there have been some bitter disappointments, and that's probably the most bitter of them. No, it's the second most bitter. Anyway.
Well, what about the audio tour? Because every time the Brooks does an exhibit, you have an audio tour that goes along with it, and this is no exception. Tell us about that.
Well, it is exceptional, kind of, because usually you have to listen to me for 35, 40 minutes. But in this case, I'm on it two or three times, but I wanted as much as possible to get other voices. So Patricia Clore Milstead, Clore's widow, is on it, talking about her husband and his work. Ernestine Jenkins from the University of Memphis is on it, talking about river baptisms. Twin, the artist, mm-hmm. I didn't realize this. They're very heavily influenced by Clore, and they are included
Jerry
on
Terry
it.
Lynn.
That's right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so there's just this great variety of voices on there, as well as music and some archival footage of Carol Clore himself. So it's one of the best audio tours we've ever had. It's really fun, really evocative.
It's going to be so great to just, if you're not familiar with enough with Clore, or you're learning about him for the very first time, this is the exhibit to go to so that you can really understand his career from start to finish.
Absolutely. And I'm also very excited because we're taking it out of Memphis. The show will travel. It goes next to the Georgia Museum of Art in Athens. And then in about, about 9 months, it will go to the Arkansas Arts Center for another 3 months there. So it's wonderful to have this celebration of a local artist, but really have it extend much wider throughout the country.
Well, this is an exhibit that you really wanted to be a part of.
Oh, yes. I'm so passionate about this. And I'm so excited to see it come to fruition. It's just splendid to have all these works hanging back in the city. And I've bragged on having those great loans from MoMA and from Metropolitan, but a number of people in Memphis who collected Clore for years have been incredibly generous in letting their paintings go, sometimes for up to a year.
Oh.
So many of the works in the exhibition are things which are very rarely seen, if sometimes they've never been published or seen before. So it's a very rare chance to see some masterworks that you have to enjoy them now, because they'll go away, unfortunately.
They'll go away. So this is your chance. It's the Summer of Clore, and at the Brooks Museum of Art, it's the Crossroads of Memory, Carol Clore and the American South. That's on view now, and that's going to be at the Brooks through September the 15th before it takes off for a tour to other parts of the Mid-South. And so many things going on in conjunction with this exhibit. It's all at the website, brooksmuseum.org. You can also call them if you'd like more information, and that number is 544-6200. But this is a huge deal, and I hope that everybody will take the opportunity to check out this exhibit at the Brooks Museum of Art. And I'm glad you have it up during the summer when people have family coming in. This is your go-to destination.
It absolutely is. And if you don't feel like driving, you can take Hop On, that wonderful new bus, which is circulating among all the different institutions in Memphis. But please do come and see it. It's truly extraordinary.
It is extraordinary. It's being curated by my guest this afternoon, Stanton Thomas, Brooks Museum of Art, presenting The Crossroads of Memory, Carol Clore and the American South, again on view through September the 15th. And I want to thank Stanton Thomas from the Brooks Museum for being my guest this afternoon. Thanks, Stanton.
It's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you.